The recording has started. You may begin.
Thank you very much, NJ. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG XCOM meeting on Friday, 24th of February, 2017. On the call today, we have John Carr, Monica Zelnarute, Robin Gross, Tapani Taravainen, Tijani Benjamar, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Tapani.
Thank you, Marianne. So for the record, this is Tapani Taravainen speaking. And since we have indeed a fairly long list of items, let's move forward without further ado. The first is the routine issue we have in every call, new member applications and older ones to review. I hope you all have that Google Doc open where you can see the applicants. Noting at this point that I hope this is the last time we'll be using Google Docs for the purpose, but for now we still do. So looking at the list, the first of new individual applicants. The first one we have is Sridip Rayamaji from Nepal. He does not, Mariam, I do not see constituencies indicated for any of the applicants. Are they really missing or have you possibly failed to list them on the Google?
Yeah, so for the individuals, they're all NCUC members. I'll update that now. Thank you.
Oh, they're all applying for NCUC. They are not members yet before we approve them. So, Rafa Rayamaji describes himself as a blogger, consultant, activist, and journalist. Provides a Twitter handle and his own website. Opinions. I hope that you have had time to look at these in advance. If you think these are obvious, feel free to mark them on the chat or directly in the Google Doc. Otherwise, a quick round. I'll just poll you in the one at a time if you have no comments to make. So, okay, Monica commenting that he provides his news website. So he does. If you look at the news, it seems to be not exactly commercial, if you ask my view. That actually he says that this Raisi News is an internet organization that lobbies the unheard voices of people. And I don't see here anything indicating commercial interest. Monica, would you like to speak? Does your audio work? Okay, quick poll. Joan? Yes, no, comment. Hello, Joan, are you online?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes. Please
Okay. Express
your view on Mr. Rayamaji. I see that Robin has indicated yes in the Google Docs chart.
Yes, I'm going to do the same. It seems okay to me. Go with it. Yes. I'll mute my phone. I have lots of visitors at my...
Okay, I note that Monica and Robin have both voted yes. So Joan, is that yes as well? So it is. Monica, your comment. Okay, that's because editing error. I guess we have Jerob and Joan. Monica, I'll vote yes as well, but since Ponsalet is missing, we'll leave this approved pending Ponsalet's position later, as we need to have a full consensus. And Mariam, I trust you check to mark the votes on the Google map so you hear them. So, done with Mr. Rajamaji. Next is Sarata Omane from Ghana. There is no website, no Twitter, LinkedIn page, so we have to go on by the description. But reference to Wisdom Donker is given. And I see Monica and Robin have already voted yes, and him as well. Joan? Okay, Joan also yes. And I'm voting yes as well. Again, approved pending consulate approval later. Next, Yolanda Mionzi from South Africa. And he gives us a reference to Thato Mvikwe. Description looks good to me. There's a LinkedIn page. And it seems to be good to me as well. So, again, okay, I see you already voted all yes. Good. I will do as so likewise. Again, approved pending consulate later. That was quick. Next, Kasahun Gebremariam from the U.S. A law student. Robin and Monica already voted yes as well, and Joan jumping in. The description looks good to me as well, even though there is no reference or link, but the description and reference to California School Law are good enough for me as well. So, again, approved pending consulate's approval. Next, Luis Marie Hurrell. Yeah, the name is familiar, and it's not surprising because she was already a member as representative of Center for Technology, and now she's applying for individual membership, and everybody's voting yes as well. So will I. So again, approved pending consulate later. Next, Vivian Vinagre from Brazil. Renata, draftee, she's very effective in getting new members for us. And Robin and Monica already voted yes. Description looks good to me, and John agrees. So again, approved pending consulate later. Next, Hanan Khatib from Jordan. And I see that Robin and Monica have already checked him out. Or her, I can't tell by the name. Description looks good to me. There's a LinkedIn page. Which I presume you already checked. It's a her, okay. And looks very good to me. Even though... Okay. Looks like everybody's approved here as well. Like I will approve as well and wait for Ponsalet's approval. Next, Carlos Valenzuela Añón from Spain. Very little information given. He's a computer engineer and wants to help community to the ICANN. Would like to help ICANN renewing its protocols and creating new regulations and services. There's no reference, no links, no nothing. I see Monica suggesting you more information is needed. I tend to agree. Other views? Robin also wants more info on his non-commercial interests. So that's what we'll do. I obviously cannot approve unless we have full consensus. It seems we mostly agree that we need more information. So Mariam, make a note, send him a question to ask to describe his non-commercial interests and if possible provide a website or something, but that's of course not essential. But at least more description. We need to know a bit more about him before we approve. Okay, next. Mariel Aranda from Paraguay. And we have a reference. Again, Renato's draftee's description looks good. Former ICANN fellow. And I see you already all voted yes for her as well. So I agree. Looks very good. Approved. Pending points a little later. Next, Bosetta Sharifa from Tunisia. We have a LinkedIn page, so an assistant professor, an Institut Supérieur d'Études Technologiques. Okay, my French isn't good enough to pronounce that, but still, an academic. Description looks good. See that, Trubin? Okay, you seem to agree, all voting yes, so I agree, approved, pending points, so let's approve later. And the last new individual we have is Maureen Kendall from the United Kingdom. I see Robin commenting that seems business. Yeah, and looking at the website, the LinkedIn page, it is a bit unclear. So let's go and ask for more information, because if anybody wants that, we'll have to do leave it late waiting. So, Mariam, again, put this one down and ask for more information, specifically a description of non-commercial interest. Even if the description looks good, but it's still a bit unclear and there's no reference. So, more information request. That was the list of individuals. Moving on to organizations. We have three new ones. International Media Support from Denmark. Our vision is to have fight to freedom of expression and the free and uncensored flow of information enjoyed by everyone. Funded predominantly through Scandinavian government donors. But still looks fairly good to me. They even provide a rather open link to their financials. Even though I'm a bit embarrassed to see that Finland is missing, they're funded by Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, but like they can't count that against them. And I see that all of you have already indicated you approve. So, agreed, approved, pending points, let's support later. Then we have Telecommunities Canada. It also looks, description looks good, volunteer organization, so forth. But the lack of website is something that there is organization website address. tc.ca. And it does look good to me, at least first sight. So So I see Robin voting yes. Monica, did you find the website? Joan, any comments?
It looks good to me. It's a program by the Canadian government, and different provinces have telecommunities. So this is the member organization. So that's why it's member donations.
Thank you, Joan. And I see Robin and Monica indicating yes as well. So agreed, approved, pending consulate approval later. And the last new organization is Internet Society Chapter of Chad. We have a number of Internet Societies as our members already, and in general principles, they should be good unless there's anything suspicious known about them, and we don't know anything bad about this, and it looks very good, and we don't have too many members from Chad either. I see Robin and Monica voting yes already, and Joan as well. So, approved, pending consulate later. That were the new ones. Let's have a look at, we have some individuals under review. Kiran Kumar, see that no reply for second email. When did you send that email, Mariam? How long ago was that? After our last call, presumably, so that it has been long enough time for him to reply.
Yes, Stefani, that's correct. After our last call.
Okay. In absence of reply, I guess we'll have to reject. Unless someone has some reason to give him extra time or whatever, but I don't see anything indicating that. Okay. So, rejected. Of course, if we do get some reply from him later, we can reopen the case as a new application, so that's not a big thing here. Augusto Morales, likewise, email question sent and no reply. So, we'll reject. There's no objections, so no team has rejected. Gnana Jayara Vajaram. So we have a response here. Which gives LinkedIn page and description, is interested in learning and so forth. Any opinions on that? LinkedIn page is a bit typoed, but it's obviously correctable. So he's associate professor, looks academic. Any opinions? Do you consider this extra information adequate? Anybody? No comments. Joan, please.
I don't know if I should bring this up, but I often notice that people from India tend to be very, they don't provide a lot of detail. So, I'm thinking about their thought process. That's something we may have to address is, in addition to say, what is your non-commercial activities, to give as much information as possible, because I think they just think, oh, yeah, they join and they give a LinkedIn page or whatever, which is not well developed, but maybe there's some more information that we can, for this particular one, obviously ask for more information, but I guess I'm trying to think of a way that we can not having to ask these questions all the time. And I specifically noticed that people from India tend to not answer the questions very well. But I think generally that I agree with Monica that it's okay.
So I take you agree that this one is okay?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yes, I agree on your point, and as you well know, we have been working on the new member application form, and we can always improve on that to get more information, to make it more clear that we want more details on the applications. But it seems that, okay, I don't see indications on the Google Docs, so Robin and Monica are indicating in the chat that you approve, I take it. Okay. So, Mr. Rajaram approved pending consulate's approval later. Luis Camacho from Peru. Let me see again. No response. So we'll have to reject, unless anybody objects. No, so rejected. And Pasu Mishra, likewise, no response to the query, so we reject. And then we have organizations under review. Web Media Development, who sent a request for more information and got no response. So, presume we'll reject them as well. Again, if anybody feels that some of these would merit extra questionnaire or more time, please say so. But we can, of course, must note it, start them over as a new one, if they respond late. And the second is Pakistan Information Security Association. And again, we have a situation of no response. I understand. Is that correct, Mariam? In the Google Docs, there is no comment on whether...
Yeah, so, that's correct.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no response.
So no response. Again, right. Okay, looking closer, that's fine. So, again, have to reject. Then we got no response. Okay, that was the list of new member applications and old ones. We can move to the next agenda item. Although, at this point, I'll, as a sort of extra item, I know that we are indeed planning to have that new member database about ready to launch. And if you have some comments on that, and if you all should get the accounts for that if you still haven't any, but request that by email, so you can take a look and have any comments you may have, but that we can keep on processing that improvement later. But the next agenda item was the consumer's candidate constituency. I sent an email to the list a few days back. Situation here is that the consumer's constituency has been in the candidate state for rather too long, and it rather clearly does not fill any the requirements for a constituency. It should have that happened in 6 months after the initial candidate status. I contacted the last and indeed the only representative of it I know, Dorothy Gordon, and Avi Doria, who told me she was involved when it was started, and they both agree that it is indeed defunct and don't object to being terminated. If you look at that email sent, yeah, I've collected that relevant points in our SHA-2 and GNSS rules, or actually Avri collected most of those for me. So I propose that we do not need to keep that dangling anymore, more than just decide now that we will consider the case closed and terminate its status as a candidate constituency. The alternative, as you know, that we could do, keep it dangling there until we close that review round, but I don't see any need for that. I see Monica agreeing. Anybody else? Joan agreeing. And Robin agrees. Okay. So, again, we'll have to give Ponselet a chance to object, but otherwise, our decision now is to terminate the candidate consumer constituency status without delaying any longer about that. So that was easy decision. Next, a bit more difficult. The constituency review. Mariam, can you pick up the next email I'm referring to? I sent a list of description of my thoughts here, but which I hope you have read. And on the basis of that, I drafted a questionnaire below, which I hope you haven't had time to read because I sent it to the list just a few minutes ago. But basically, this is picking up the criteria in our charter and turn them into questions. Open issues here are how much details do we want to ask and the timeline. Anything else you might want to comment? As our charter says, we should first with the each. Okay, Robin, you wish to speak. Please, you have the floor.
Thanks. Tapani, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks. I just have a question about the question on here that's labeled 1B. Are all your members also members of NCSG? And I don't think I'm telling you something you don't already know, but they, by definition, must be members of NCSG because the constituencies are subsets within. So are you trying to get at something else here with this, like sort of a confirmation that people aren't allowing in other people into the constituency who aren't members of the stakeholder group? Or I don't know. I'm just a little bit confused by this because by definition, they must be members of NCSG. Thanks.
I did it there because the charter text explicitly refers to that. The first criteria in the list there is that the constituencies must meet the criteria established in section 231, which I presume is typo there, and it's actually the second paragraph in 2.3, which, among other things, lists that all members of the group should be members of the NCSG. So this is just a clarification question to make sure that they fulfill the letter of the charter. This is a bit ambiguous in that it might argue that this is relevant only in the case of a new candidate constituency, but since the question is there, or that point is there, I see no harm in asking them to confirm that as a matter of principle, we should have all the items listed in the charter for that purpose. Okay, it seems that you agree on this. Likewise, the 1C comes from that same paragraph, which says that the group forming a constituency should have a common interest or background, and its focus should be sufficiently defined and have substantive relevance to ICANN and the NCSG context and with respect to its core mission. So that's basically the text is simply lifted out of the charter description, and whatever they reply, we assess if they fit the charter. The other questions are reasonably obvious likewise, although, again, how much detail shall we ask for is open. Robin, please go ahead.
Thanks, Tapani. I just wanted to ask something about question two. Do you have a publicly dynamic, publicly archived mailing list? Where is this archived and where can it be found? When we say publicly archived, do we mean open so anyone in the world can see it, or do we mean open such that only your members can see it? Because I think, you know, that's kind of an important distinction, and I'd like to know. I mean, I'd like to be sure that these mailing lists and such are open to people outside of the membership. Like, for example, the NCSG mailing list, anybody in the world can take a look at our discussions. And other mailing lists are set up such that you only have to be a member, that you have to be a member in order to see it. So I'm just kind of wondering if we could be a little bit more precise in this question. So we're asking if it's open to non-members to view. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. Our charter says that it has to be a publicly, basically, it has to be publicly archived. I would take public to mean in this context that it means indeed that it's world readable. I find it kind of hard to in any other way. We could clarify it here in this questionnaire, either saying that it must be so, or ask them to explain if it is. I don't think that will be a problem I know it will not be a problem for our either constituency, but of course we want to do it in such a way that this process is generalizable, hoping that with a bit of luck this questionnaire can be reused by the next easy doing this review in the future. So should we rephrase this question? Or of course we can, when they provide the URL, we can simply evaluate it and see if it's publicly open. But do you want to add some text to this question to make it sure? Say publicly archived, world readable, or something to that effect. Robin, please go ahead.
Yeah, maybe we just say, like, you know, just make it a little bit more clear that it's open to the general public as opposed to, you know, the membership. So I think that would be fine. And then I had another question about this as well. And it probably isn't going to be something that ties directly to our charter, but might be a good idea to ask nonetheless, is this the mailing list on which, you know, are these the lists on which decisions are taken and input is sought and discussions are had? Because I could foresee a situation where, you know, yes, they have an open mailing list, but none of the actual work gets done on it. All the work gets done on a secret list. And so I'm just kind of, you know, is there a way we could tease out a little bit further that, you know, these are the working lists where members provide input and decisions are taken and something like that? Thanks.
Thank you, Robin. Yes, that's a very good point. We should want to add something to that effect. Joan, you want to?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a really good point. When I read the word public, I always think of the general public, the world, usually you, for members only, if it's only for members. That's my take on it. So I thought it was self-explanatory, but, you know, questioning is always good. But I think when it says publicly available, I think of it as the public world. So that's how I understood it anyway.
Okay, thank you, John. Yes, that's how I understood it as well, but clarifying doesn't hurt. As for the phrasing of how shall we ask, is this where the decisions are being made or so forth, is something that needs a bit more thought. I will try to draft a wording for that and post it to the list for discussion. Of course, we can also, and indeed we should also, look at the list when we get it. They get this, of course, link and they can judge for ourselves, which it looks like that this is where decisions are being made, but asking for it is a good idea anyway. Anything else on that? I was wondering a little if it's too difficult to ask that they should provide a complete list of participants in the working groups, but I think not. They should be able to provide that if we give a few months' time. Most of those should be easily findable, at least current situation, because I'm asking for history, which also is something I'd like your comments on. Is this since 2015, we take a two-year period as a reasonable, long history, especially since 2 years is how often this should generally be done, this review. And of course, as I noted in the end of the questionnaire, I'm suggesting that this is not the final thing, that if they don't reply well enough, we will ask for details, that this is just the first round. But still, is that 2 years a reasonable time? And on the amount of detail, I'm suggesting that the list of people who participated in them. Okay, see, Robin approving. Yes, and I also want to know chairs and co-chairs, because that indicates a level of participation as well. Okay, so it sounds like at least for three, you agree with this timing, with this phrasing. And question four, again, public comments should be easy enough to point out. Simply give the link in the website. And if any other policy statements, well, presumably, by definition, they are public, so they should be able to point to where they've been published. There's a bit uncertainty, perhaps, whether we should clarify if public comments submitted by individual members on their own behalf should be also noted or counted. Ah, Robin, that's a good point, that for we should actually ask for that, how these comments are processed, which if they have a policy committee or something that approves them. And actually, I guess we could specify that if there are individual members' comments, you can list them as well, just indicate that they are such, and then we can later consider if that's, they are relevant. And asking for transparency, yes, if that public comment is actually processed in some other mailing list than the one provided above, where is that? Is that publicly archived? For example, if there's a policy committee list, that kind of questions. Actually, coming back to question two, should we ask for multiple lists if they are? They want to submit several lists that are publicly archived, so I guess it would be better to phrase it in such a way that they can list all relevant mailing lists. Okay, but otherwise you're happy with this time period for the comments as well. We don't need to go further back in the history, just 2 years is enough. Okay, Robin, please go ahead.
I think it might be worth asking if non-members of the constituency participate in the drafting or, you know, somehow in the framing of the issues. If they get drafts, you know, drafts could come far out, and then the constituency could just sort of adopt it. You know, I'm just trying to imagine the different ways that that things could slip through the cracks and what kind of issues we could maybe tighten this up a little bit. And that sort of, it makes me think that what we could ask about are non-members allowed to participate in the drafting or framing of issues in your meeting or discussion, something along those lines, if that makes any sense.
Yes, thank you, Robin. Yes, it actually does make sense, in particular if it turns out that, let's say, comments are frequently or even sometimes submitted by some chair without consulting anybody, then we would raise a question of if there is somebody else behind it having an input, so that we should certainly do ask. But a general clarification of the process and include that, is there any non-transparent part? Is there a possibility of non-members contributing within in a way that might be inappropriate? Framing phrasing. Okay, Joan, please go.
It's a really, really good transparent question, because one of the difficulties I had when I came on to MPOC was I thought that when we commented on policies, that it was because we're representing organizations that we also enter as an organization. So that was my interpretation of it, and that there was direction. And then I learned, no, it's individually based. And it's like, oh, okay. So I think it's a really good way to identify the different ways that people actually have public comments, that it's individual or that there is a process and that it's clarified. I like that.
Okay, thank you, Joan. Yes, we need to work a little on the text on how to ask this so that this becomes clear. A call is not the best place for a word drafting a meeting, so I will try to draft a new version of the text and send it to the list, and we can discuss it there further. But the point was clear enough. Anything else on these? Okay. Looking, scrolling down, the fifth question is again directly from the charter, where there must be at least 10 participants who have an updated SOI as statement of interest. And the question is simply that we want to sort of proof, meaningly at the list of at least 10 such, that we can verify that they actually are there. We do not have an easy way of checking that for history. I guess we could dig out those have existed in the past, but for the present purpose, I think it's sufficient if we get current members that have SOIs, even if it means that they will actually rush out to fill them at this moment, but I don't see that as a problem at this stage. Robin suggests we should ask for a complete members list on the web. Yes, that is a good idea, even though that's not required by the charter, but we could ask for it anyway. Perhaps phrasing it so that if you don't have it there, please explain why, because that's a general transparency concern. But for some, at least, I'm not sure if constituencies have the members, even though memberships have been on the net, they do not necessarily have links to SOIs, so I want to ask for that separately anyway. Okay. I don't see anybody disagreeing this, that we ask for the complete list as well. So I guess we'll phrase it so that we ask for, please provide a link to the complete list of members, and if there are no SOIs there, then provide separately a list of at least 10 SOIs. Everybody's busy typing. Yes, and we can at least suggest that add links to SOIs in the member list. And actually, that I put that down as a agenda item for that new member database thing, so that we can get that for the done for entire NCSG. Well, at it. But for now, let's put that on the questionnaire as well. Okay. So then for the endpoints, I made there that I want to give them a chance to explain any future projects or plans, noting that both constituencies are in fact in the process of updating their bylaws. So the purpose statement will want both current and possible plan new one. And likewise, in case they are a bit on the low side on some of these request requirements when judging the activity or number of comments and so forth, any plans for improvement would be of interest to us. I trust everybody agrees with that. And then the timeline. Is it reasonable to put the first deadline to mid-May? The plan here basically is that we get this out maybe next week. That gives them 2 months to collect this data, and then we have 1 month and a half before Johannesburg to get updates. Okay. Is there anything else you see out in this questionnaire you might want to comment on this point? As noted, I have written, I'm going to make an updated version on the basis of comments here and send it to the list, but otherwise any comments on this point would be welcome. Okay. Seems it looks good to everybody. This is not a decision item at this point, so point is simply that I will send out an updated version for the list, and we can then approve it on by email. Okay. So much for that, and then we can move to the last item we had on our agenda. Mariam, can you pick that email about the temporary counselor replacement? I trust you have read this, the brief summary is that since Amr resigned, we have to replace him, and there are two ways of doing that, the temporary alternate and temporary replacement. We already appointed Avri as a temporary alternate for the 2 week period before this, we have this call. We can go on with temporary alternate for somewhat longer. The GNSO operating procedures say for the transition period, and it's reasonably clear that we can extend that all the way to Copenhagen, but going further than that would probably be stretching it. So then we'll have to point a temporary replacement, the significance being that then it will be up to the end of that term, or actually until end of next election, but regular election, but it's the same in this case. So that gives us basically, we don't have to appoint another temporary alternate, of course, so we have two ways of filling this. At this point, we can appoint a temporary replacement now, someone who will take care of the entire rest of the term, or we can appoint someone as a temporary alternate until Copenhagen, and then someone as a temporary replacement from that on. Or we could technically use some other period for the temporary alternate, but I don't see any point of doing it any other way. So if we go with temporary alternate, then Copenhagen is the sensible point to cut it off. Yes, Robin, we did appoint Avi the temporary alternate, but only until tomorrow. So we have to extend the appointment, or we could appoint someone else as a temporary alternate as well, if we choose. So, okay, Robin, please.
OK, Okay, great. Yeah, I think, you know, as long as we've got Avery ready to fill out the rest of Amr's term and in place and ready to do it, I think we should let her do it. You know, there really isn't anyone in the NCS, or, you know, really the community, who knows more about the GNSO council procedures and how the working groups work. And, you know, she's really in a position to just hit the ground running and, you know, pick up whatever torches and really run forward with it. There isn't going to be much of a learning curve there. So I think, you know, it's we should have Avery fill out the remainder of the of Amr's term, and then that position will be up for election, I believe. That would be my proposal. Thanks.
Thank you, Robin. Yes, that we could do that. At this point, I would like to highlight a few procedural items before going on. Well, its analysis is really comprehensive. I believe you have, if you disagree on any point there, but I'll note that we have four people who have indicated their interest: Doria, Martin Silva-Valent, Carlos Raul Gutierrez, and Tatiana Tropina. And there are some eligibility issues, which Ed pointed out. There's a term limit issue, which does not prevent us from choosing any of them. I'll note that this temporary replacement or alternate appointment does not influence future terms, so that whoever we appoint now could run for election and stay for two full terms after that. But nothing further about that, since neither Avery and Carlos have both done one term, but only one, so consecutive term. So neither have this issue. Martin was a temporary alternate, which has no impact there, and Tatiana hasn't been there at all. And the other point is that regional and gender balance points both have a hard limit and a soft limit, so to speak. For gender, the hard limit is at least two of each gender, which we have in any case. As at the moment after I'm left, there are two men and three women. So we are only left with the consideration of reasonable effort that should be done to maintain a gender balance. And we'll have to discuss if that's how significant in this case, what we mean by reasonable effort. And second is the regional balance, where the hard limit is maximum extent possible, should be no more than two of any constitute any region, and that the reasonable effort should be made to cover all regions. Unfortunately, we don't have any African candidates. We could ask if we should make another attempt to recruit some to maintain a reasonable effort, but we did. It was asked for in the public list several times. And so I don't see, well, again, open for debate if that matters. But the maximum extent possible in the general election, we have interpreted it so that if there is any candidate, if there would be more than two on the same region, then that candidate will lose to any other available candidate, if there is one. But we can, of course, discuss that someone is sufficiently better than it's beyond reasonable here. But without further comment on that point, I'll hand over to Joan. Please go.
Hi, Joan. Thanks for pointing out those eligibility and requirements. That was very helpful. So, obviously, I think that Avery is very experienced, and I know her personally. But I'd like to maybe propose something. I think Martin would make a really good alternative for this position. Since I've been in been involved in ICANN, the first thing I've been hearing is how much overworked people are, and that you need new blood. And I think this is an opportunity for new blood. And I think that Martin is interested and competent to do the job, and also Avery has also indicated that she would mentor him if he was in that position as well. So I really believe that Martin could actually fill this position. So I'd like to put him forward as a candidate. Hello?
Yes, can you please, John, clarify, are you proposing that we appoint Martin for the entire term now, or that we appoint Avery as a temporary alternate until Copenhagen and Martin after that, or something else?
Avery will be fine for Copenhagen because it's 2 weeks away, and I think, you know, like I said, that she's very competent, she knows, quite knowledgeable. And then Martin will be the next one. That would be fine too. I will be fine with that. But I just think that he's indicated his candidacy, and I think that he would make a really good alternative as well. So that's all I'm saying.
So we have a clear proposal from Robin suggesting that Avery takes it all, and from Joan you are proposing that, can you please explicit, are you proposing that Martin take over now immediately, or that Avery takes until Joe Copenhagen and Martin after that? I wasn't quite clear.
So to be clear, I was originally proposing that Martin takes over, but I'm also fine with them sharing it as well. Since you asked, like I said, I'm new to this whole process, and I have nothing against Avery having that position, like I said, but I do think that Martin wouldn't make a good alternate. That's the point. So if they share it, that's fine. But if you need to have it just one of them, then I'd say Martin would have my choice. But I think that the proposition for sharing it is a good one.
Okay, I take it we have technically three proposals on the table. One, Avery takes it from now on. Two, Martin takes it from now on. Three, Avery takes it until Copenhagen and Martin from there on. Before moving on, I have to pick up this comment from Monica from the chat, where she agrees that the gender balance is working against female applicants. I think we are bound by the text of the charter here, but of course, since it only says that the reasonable effort must be made to maintain the gender balance, and you could argue that we should look at gender balance in the wider context, perhaps saying that since men tend to be overrepresented in I can in general, and this should not be given that much weight in this context, and we should leave. Not worry about it. In any case, it's just the best effort, reasonable effort. So I'm open to argument here, but I do not buy that line that we should not, it could not work against female candidates, even whatever the purpose of it, but I'm open to that kind of interpretation, or as well as that the reasonable effort means simply say that in case of evenly balanced candidates, we could pick, should pick the minority in current council. But Joan, your hand is still up. Wish to speak?
Yes, thank you. I usually try to follow the rules or guidelines. So if I'm understanding it, as an XCOM, are we supposed to is a male candidate on the table over the females? Is that what I'm understanding? Due to our guidelines, I'm asking.
Well, we have two male and two female candidates, and given from the proposals so far made, Martin is male. So if we look at the composition of the our councillors only, balancing gender, they would favor him. But as noted, there are ways of reading it otherwise, and reasonable effort is always open to a question as well.
So what would seem unreasonable then? Like I really think Martin would make a good counselor. He's not as experienced as Avery, but he has a lot of experience otherwise. And so what would be how would he be judged to be unreasonable?
That is a good question. It would seem, well, possible interpretations are that if there is an easy way to maintain the balance, we should follow that. Or we could, if it's simply an extra factor to weighing in, if there's one candidate is obviously better, then that will override the gender balance requirement. Or, as I said, we could even argue that the gender balance should be looked at in a wider context, but reading the text, it's a bit difficult. Mm-hmm. So, actually, I see that Monica has clearly pointed out that she doesn't think this gender balance should work against females at all. Any others? Views on what should we, how should we interpret this reasonable effort? Joan, your hand is up. You want to comment on this? Okay, Monica points saying that the various criteria used against female candidates, sometimes that can happen, in particular regarding the region criteria, that is very strongly worded, and it works against Tatiana in this case. I presume that's what you are suggesting. I don't see that as malicious in any way, because that's pretty explicit in the charter. And we have been interpreting it that way in general elections all along. So that while it's not an absolute requirement, overriding that to the maximum extent possible, and in when we are filling it here, would require some strong argument. I guess we could do that in case that, say, the female candidate is obviously better in the or the others were obviously incompetent, maybe. But as regards to Avery, region is not a problem. There's only one North American councillor at the moment. So the question of the gender balance clause, Monica's point of view is that should not be used against the female candidate. I'm not sure if you mean that it's a general principle that it's always intended to be supporting females only, or are you drawing this from the general gender imbalance argument or somewhere else? I see you are typing. Let's wait for a moment. Of course, I note that still even 2-4 distribution of genders is still fairly good. So that can be also said that so it's not really a strong argument. have a reasonable effort to make a balance, get gender balance is satisfied by having two full already. So you argue it was never drafted to prevent female candidates from becoming councillors. I'm not aware of the history of this, if there's any reference to that. But failing that, I don't see how we can do anything but go with the current text we have. So the only way I can see that we should not use it to support a male candidate against a female would be the argument that we should look at gender balance in ICANN as a whole, which would, of course, support the notion that it does not really support male over female because there are more many males have a wider support in general. So, Monica writing, in principle, we support the compromise. Does that mean that you support the... And Robin as well. Okay, do I take that you all actually support this proposal that we appoint Avery until Copenhagen and then Martin as a temporary replacement after that? If so, it seems we have consensus, although, as before, we have to wait for Poncelet's possible objection. As I take this, Monica's in principle and Robin's, I think, to be an agreement of this proposal. Just waiting to be give you a chance to make clarify that in case I have misunderstood, but it seems that we are in agreement. So let's then. That's what we shall do. I'm happy with any compromise you all support. So, giving Poncelet the option to object. We shall appoint Avery as a temporary alternate until Copenhagen and then Martin as the temporary replacement after Copenhagen until the end of Amr's term. Okay, fine. That was the last item on our agenda. Any other business? Okay, under any other business, I'll get a little back to the new member database and remind everybody that please take a look at it if you haven't already. And if you don't have your login details for there to get logged into the system, send me email of list and I will get you them. Anything else? Okay, sounds we're done here. Oh, on the other, one other point, just a quick question. Robin, is that process for member removal going forward? Can we pick them on the list next time? Okay, that's good. So, thank you, everybody. That was a very productive meeting. Good night. Have a good weekend. Good morning for good day, wherever you may be. Thank you all. You can stop the recording.
Thank you very much.
Angie, please stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you very much for your time today. Goodbye.